Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Happy Thanksgiving, and I've got some happy Thanksgiving news for you. I think most of that comes up in the second segment. Typically, I would visit with you about the beginning of this holiday at Plymouth Rock, the truth about the Pilgrims and the Indians, and, you know, the fact that while there were many who came to this continent to exploit its resources for greed. Remember Jamestown. Those that actually settled and founded this country came for freedom, believing all men are created by God and all created equal and all thusly created endowed by him with certain inalienable rights. And, you know, I don't want to anticipate Christmas, but I must say, as I prepared the Thanksgiving show for 2020, you know, I couldn't help but think of George Washington kneeling in the snows of Valley Forge. You know, the army had suffered a string of discouraging defeats and the loss of their capital, Philadelphia. Washington hit a low point, his army destitute and on the verge of dissolution. Well, Washington turned to God, and he, with his army, endured the hardness of that hard snow that winter and discouragement, and they managed afterwards to march on Philadelphia and retake it for America. And from there, through many more hardships, finally, to defeat the British army and secure for us our liberties. Now, friend, we indeed are going through times that try men's souls. And it might get worse before it gets better. But we must not give up on liberty. We must never surrender our liberties. We don't have a right to do so. We have no right to deprive our children of the liberties that we have enjoyed at the costs of so much paid by so many before us, and for which we, frankly, have had to pay so little. So don't complain about the present struggle. Don't join the raging of the heathen. Praise God and pass the ammunition. And may it be that this test of our strength to stand against tyranny for our generation will not require bullets. Let the ballots speak, but only the true ballots. Only the legal ballots. Every case, and there are hundreds of these, and every case of voter fraud was for Biden. Nothing is clearer to any reasonable and fair-minded American than this. The Democrats have attempted to steal this election by fraud and by manipulating the system. One Democrat boasted one thing about the DNC is this: we've got game. Well, indeed they do. And their game is deceit, manipulation, and outright fraud. In view of this, I call on Biden to concede. I think every American should write to the Biden campaign and demand that he concede this election. He lost it. If nothing else, that man should concede to this, that he supports transparency in American elections, that he has sufficient character to recognize the importance that no one takes the Oval Office by force or by fraud. Biden must concede for the good of America. All the fraud comes from his party. I'm sure, like me, many of you are getting worn out with this election, but let's not become weary of well-doing. Satan always tries to wear us out, to get us to back down and give up. Stand strong, patriots, as the president has recently called on us to stand strong against these wicked people trying to steal our country from us. Listen, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And the Spirit of the Lord is with us. Indeed, he is in us who are believers. And he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. They that be with us are greater than they that be with them. For this Thanksgiving special, I'm not going to hide from the issues that are pressing upon us. I'm going to address them straightforwardly with clarity, courage, and conviction that right will prevail, that good will prevail, that right makes fight, as Abraham Lincoln said, and the fight is for right, and the fight for right has God on its side, no matter how bleak it gets in any moment in this battle for America. We know this: our God reigneth in the kingdom of men. He has a remnant that he never forsakes, and our mission never changes. We'll be looking at some theories about how all this happened, the Google stole the election theory, the God hates America and has given up on her theory, and its variation, which says whoever ends up in the Oval Office ends up there by the will of God. And then the God is moving us toward a reset for liberty and justice for all theory. The idea that what we see going on is the filling of the cosmic toilet with the deep state before he flushes. It's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Tucker believes the story in this election is the social network media's effort to censure the right and provide a megaphone for the left. You know, it's the Google did it theory. Now, Tucker has been stumbling around a bit lately, in my opinion, and I'm not sure what that's all about, but he could not be more wrong about the Google did it theory. So let me explain. Hi, Mike. No question Google tried. It's certain that Larry Page and his partner, Russian-born Sergey Brin, founders of Google, along with their major shareholders, John Marcante, I believe it's pronounced, managing director of the Vanguard Group's Information Technologies Division, Larry Fink, CEO of BlackRock, and that's the number one largest money management firm in the world, and Thomas Price, founder of T. Rowe Price Corporation, a multinational investment and mutual fund firm. These all surely combine their resources to make every effort to manipulate this election, but they failed. Angry that Trump successfully went straight to the voters with his message, unfiltered by the traditional press, these decided, and using their platforms to do it, they conspired to control the flow of information and to remove Trump and his supporters from their platforms effectively. You see, they tried to force us out of the public square and squelch our voice in the debate. But the fact is, they failed. Trump did an in-run on him with his MAGA rallies. Trump's message did get out. These people only succeeded at exposing the truth about the Democratic Party today, that they're all a bunch of fascist dictators who fear the people and want to control them, ultimately to enslave them, because all of their predictive models in their business depends on being able to control elections. Look, to say Google stole the election admits the election was lost to people who voted freely but ignorantly. Now, there's no law against voting ignorantly. The fact that Trump got more votes than any president in history and that Biden got more votes than Obama? Friend, that's just absurd. No one believes it. I mean, 30% of Democrats think the election was stolen by Biden, and another 20% of Democrats, I estimate, believe this also, and yet they're congratulating themselves on the heist. Really, there's only a few who actually think Biden drew 80 million votes. For one thing, where were they during his campaign? Like, nowhere to be found. And for another, where are they now? Most of them are sleeping in their graves. Google did not sway 6 to 7 million votes to Biden. Virtually every vote that actually went to Biden was going to Biden anyway. And many otherwise Biden votes actually went to Trump. Trump won in a landslide. Google, I'm sure, helped shore up some of the bleeding that was happening in the Democrat Party, votes that were going from Biden to Trump. I mean, defund the police, really? And Google no doubt succeeded at keeping the Trump message from many in the middle of our political spectrum. But friend, the middle is rapidly vanishing in America. The middle no longer makes or breaks an election in this country. Google's efforts are wicked and vile, and they stink of Nazi fascism. Google, together with Facebook, Twitter, the MSM, yes, they certainly align together in a conspiracy against democracy, against fair and honest dialogue, and against a fair and honest election. They are indeed conspirators against America, but the American people saw through it. It didn't work. Trump won by a landslide. Really, anyone who believes Biden got 80 million plus votes is a Google head. Now, Tucker Carlson thinks this is the story about the stolen election. I do not agree. But let me tell you that if it is the story, if people decided to vote Biden based on the manipulation of Google, then the issue is not a legal one that can have any effect at all on the outcome of the election, other than what influence they might have used to produce this result. But look, it's not illegal to vote ignorantly. It does tell us something has to be done about the monopoly the left has controlling the public square and access to it. That's just not right. But that is not an argument that leads to a legal correction of a vote. It says people who voted did so ignorantly, but ignorant voting is not against the law. As I've said, I'm telling you that the effort to shift attention to this Google did it thing is a mistake. And happily, the Trump team is not biting. Thank God. Where we have a legal problem is when votes were stolen from the people. The story, Brother Tucker, is not how the people were manipulated. That is a story, but it's not the story. The story is voter fraud. Just like Biden admitted, he and Obama created the, quote, most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in history of American politics, end quote. Now, friend, that's a direct quotation. This is what Biden said. When you look at how massive and how extensive was the voting fraud in this election, which is provable, it's obvious that Biden knew exactly what he was talking about. Clearly, this gives evidence of the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization ever put together by wicked men in the history of American elections or politics. So, what about the God hates America and has given up on her theory? Or the variation on this, which says, whoever ends up in the Oval Office ends up there by the will of God. We might call this the sovereignty argument. It says, effectively, that if Biden ends up in the White House, well, it's because God willed it. You see, this is a core tenet of Calvinism, and it's articulated in the Westminster Confession like this, quote, God, from all eternity, did, by the most wise and holy counsel of his own will, freely and unchangeably ordain whatever comes to pass, end quote. So, according to this thinking, God ordained everything that happens. An auxiliary to this is that God's will cannot be disappointed. Now, I've written a thorough study on what are called the 5 points of Calvinism in a book called Calvin's Maze. You can search it online. It should be the first hit you see in your search. It's a gross distortion of a truth. Indeed, overall and in the end, God's will prevail. Of course, and every being with a knee will bow and confess with their tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord. But not only is it manifestly not true that God's will is always done in the earth in the interim, as it is in heaven, but God himself sometimes is compelled to act contrary to his own will. First, why do we pray, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, if whatever happens is by default God's will? The evil that comes into the world is the consequence of men acting contrary to the will of God, not in concord with it. And anyone playing the silly game saying, you know, well, God who creates evil in response to sin or trespass did so because, well, it's his will that evil should come upon the world as a consequence of sin. Well, you're playing a shell game with the truth. God unwillingly afflicts with evil those who commit sin or trespass, but he does it unwillingly. Proof? Lamentations 3 verse 33. Jeremiah testified, quote, for he doth, and he's speaking of God, for he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. That he does afflict is apparent in Psalm 107 and all over the scripture, but clearly, according to Jeremiah, he never does it willingly. You see, he is not willing that any should perish, he testified in the scriptures, but also said, however, many will come to me in that day, and I will say, I don't know you, depart from me, you cursed. So, you see, if you've been hoodwinked into this double talk of human theological rationalism, just take what the Bible says and be done with the nonsense. It's true that God gives the kingdom to whosoever he will. Daniel 4:17, 25, 32, and really it's testified to elsewhere in scripture. However, my friend, the reason he took it from Judah and gave it to Nebuchadnezzar was that, quote, they, and he's referring to Israel and Judah, have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not, end quote, Hosea 8:4. These kings and princes, the people put in power in the kingdom, perverted the nation and brought it to ruin. The people defied God and gave the power of the kingdom to men God did not choose. And they did this contrary to his law, which was given by Moses in Deuteronomy 17:14-20. Now you may take from that that anybody who gains power unlawfully, it has gained it contrary to the will of God. Now I'll have to take a short break. But when I get back, I'll explain why God did not choose Biden to be president of the United States.
God's War, why Christians should rule the world.
A shocking statement to many, but our founders didn't think so. John Jay believed Christians should prefer believers to rule our nation because Jesus is king and all mankind is subject to his crown. Our founding fathers understood this and acknowledged Christ as king. Satan once boasted that all the kingdoms of the world were his, but no longer, because when Jesus died on the cross, he broke the power of Satan over this world and cast the prince of this world out. When Jesus rose from the grave, he declared, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Jesus sent his Spirit into the world, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But where the Spirit of Antichrist is, there is tyranny. The Spirit of Jesus Christ is greater than the Spirit of Antichrist. Now, you can learn how to unleash the power of Christ into the world to defeat the Spirit of Antichrist. Learn how you can defend liberty through the authority of Jesus Christ. Free the world from the spirit of tyranny. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World Today. Go to www.books@dbp.com.
The prisoner wishes to say a word.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that will steal from us our liberties. Some happy Thanksgiving news for you. Trump pardoned General Flynn. It's official. It is sad that our president had to step in with a pardon to get an innocent man released, but grateful he had the courage and the character to do it. More happy Thanksgiving news. The Trump team actually won their bid to the state legislatures of Pennsylvania, Arizona, and Michigan to hold public hearings on the 2020 election. Let's get this aired out. This is something Trump has been calling for right along, that the state legislatures should step in to settle this issue. Well, since that is their constitutional role, you do know that the governors and election board bureaucrats changed election law in these states and some others. They made rules without due process. You know, a process that requires the state legislators to be involved, where they make the laws governing elections. These changes in the rules actually did provide the opportunity for the Democrats to commit egregious levels of voter fraud unheard of in our history in an effort to steal this election. Now, we may take comfort in the fact that these states have Republican-controlled state legislatures, but let us hope that is only because we know that most conservatives are Republican today and that conservatives care about the truth as an objective reality. They care about the rule of law, and we hope, therefore, they will look at this situation honestly, humbly, not as partisans representing a certain party, but as Americans representing our cherished values in this country and insist upon a fair and honest and legal election. Well, here's some more good news. A lower court in Wisconsin ruled that over 200,000, I believe it's 209,000 voters must be purged from the voter rolls, which should nullify those votes. 150,000 ballots were called out for address irregularities that disqualify them from being counted in Wisconsin, according to Wisconsin law. Now, I don't know if these 150,000 are part of the 200, or if that is to be combined of 300, and wow. But in either case, this certainly impacts the election in Wisconsin. An appeals court put a stay on the order to purge the 209,000 voters from Wisconsin rolls. All votes that came in after the mysterious count shut down on election night while they investigate the issue. But you see, the fraud was extensive, and that's the point. More happy Thanksgiving news. We have been assured that Powell is going to release the Kraken today. For those of you listening, I'm producing the show on Wednesday because the radio folks want to take Thanksgiving Day off. Imagine. But that's the way it is. Anyway, Powell set to release the Kraken today in Georgia. We will see. I hope soon the truth come out that will begin toppling the strongholds of deceit, holding our nation in bondage to unreasonable and wicked men and women, where Satan has contrived to bind justice and commence to spoil the House of Liberty, putting the Department of Justice in the grip of oppressors, pray that Satan's hold on justice will be broken today. Whether the Lord desires to use Powell's Kraken, or whether he finds some other means to deliver us, so be it. But the Google did it theory is, I think, a no-go. Google did not steal the election. They tried, and they are certainly working hard to steal away our First Amendment rights. They are trying to bar us from the public square illegitimately. We must resist every effort on the part of Google, Zuck, Jack, and the Chinese propaganda organs operating under the rubric of the mainstream media. We must resist all their efforts to shush our voices, to cower us into some corner of the public square where our voice is heard only by ourselves. We must be heard. So the Google theory is not the front line in our battle for America, and that's my point here. My friend, voter fraud is. Now, how about the sovereignty argument? No. God does not want Biden to be president of the United States. If he allows it, it will be the same allowance he makes for the exercise of free will among his creatures, where he unwillingly releases evil to afflict as a matter of judgment upon evildoers. But let's look at this God voted for Biden argument. It's absurd, of course. God no more wants Biden for president than he approved of those that Israel had put on the throne against his will, as he complains in Hosea 8, verse 4. I mean, what? God votes for abortion up to term? I don't think so. God prefers a leader who is up to his neck in corruption? Yeah, sure. You know, because God always picks those to rule who are the most wicked among us, right? Ha! You know that bit in David about those that rule over men must be just? Ruling in the fear of God? Oh, what a joke. You know, that's just silly. God likes those to rule who are base men. I mean, you read that in Daniel 4:17, didn't you? Don't you know that teaches that God raises up evil men to rule? My friend, please. The term basest of men refers to lowly, not wicked, not evil, not vile oppressors. He's not going to contradict what he revealed to us through David. I mean, anyway, ask Pharaoh what God thought of his oppressive rule in Egypt. But according to some, he likes to give power to wicked rulers that oppress people because, well, you know, God doesn't really care about this stuff down here these days. Because really, God wants atheists to run the world. That's his preference. It's foolishness for him. But God likes socialism, especially the kind that goes after political opponents. You know, like what's his name recently said, you know, the has-been actor who recently said all who support Trump had better be afraid of what's coming when Biden becomes president. You know, God likes those kinds of people. They're just so generous and so tolerant. The people who make lists of political opponents with a plan to attack them, to turn the power of the sword of civil justice against them, to persecute their political opponents. Oh, God really likes that kind of stuff. Actually, you don't know this, perhaps, but God actually likes China. He likes the communist. He does love China, by the way. But he likes the Communist Party in China. He's all for that. He doesn't want righteous people to rule on the earth. He doesn't want his law to govern men. When he said peace on earth, goodwill toward men, he meant do whatever you want, and I'll bless it. You know, so he likes the Communist Party. Of course, the Communist Party doesn't like him, but that's okay because God really likes those communists and prefers communism to biblical-based capitalism of the Adam Smith variety. You didn't know that God likes that system of government that gives him a break. You know what I mean? Give him a break. Oh, come on, man. God is tired of carrying all this take care of people stuff, right? It's time for the government to step in and do some heavy lifting for a while. Yeah, right? God's got so much to do with taking care of the sparrows and keeping track of the number of the hairs on every head. I mean, he could use some help, you know. I mean, so let's have the government take care of your health. They do such a great job at everything else. Truly, God likes best the people that hate him the most, of course. In other words, I'm trying to point out the absurdity of this idea. A society where citizens turn on each other and spread panic that's all fake about a virus. Well, that's God's favorite pastime, har har. Look, as you know, of course, I'm being facetious. Friend, what's going on in this country comes right out of hell, not from heaven. If God is not hearing us, you need to heed Isaiah 59 or James 3 and 4. But don't give me this bit about the sovereignty of God favors the wicked over the righteous. That's the sickest bunch of nonsense I've ever heard in my entire life. And this that's going on is the sickest bunch of wickedness I've ever seen play out in any election in America. They must not win. Certainly not this way. So I need to conclude. God is moving us toward a reset for liberty and justice for all. Americans did not vote for this. If Biden had actually won the American people over and they actually did vote for him to be president, well, I'd be preaching sermons on how to live in Babylon. I would be exhorting you to keep your windows open in public expressions of worship. Don't close them. Remember Daniel. I would be encouraging all believers to defy every effort of the part of the state to press you to your knees to their gods. Remember Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. You might know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these would be good messages for us today because a lot of Christians need them. But today I'm preaching the Adonijah coup. 1 Kings 1. David was nearing his departure, and one of his sons, named Adonijah, decided to declare himself to be king. Virtually all in the kingdom thought Adonijah had been duly appointed king, and he began performing the king's duties, you know, appointing his cabinet and posturing publicly as the king, sending the media out. He hired 50 men to go before him, declaring Adonijah as king. Adonijah called a feast to celebrate the transfer of the throne from David to him, and he invited Joab, captain of the Lord's host. He had the military on his side, or a good portion of it, and Abiathar, the unfaithful priest. He had some false religion there rooting for him. And many other high-ranking officers of the kingdom, all deep state, you know. But he did not invite Nathan the prophet or Zadok the faithful priest or the queen Bathsheba or her son Solomon or any of the mighty men of David. The prophet went to the bride of the king and apprised her of the situation and advised her that unless she went to the king and secured his help, Adonijah would surely be king, and he has already made his list of political enemies, and that he will set out to destroy, once he takes the throne, the rightful heir to the throne and all that supported him. The bride went into the chambers of the king and did obeisance, that is, she bowed down before him, and she pleaded his promises to her. The king heard her petition and rose up to establish the true heir upon his throne. The parallels between Adonijah and Biden are clear, but consider this. Jesus is the only king today, and the church is his bride. She and her children are targeted for destruction if Biden wins. The prophet, the Holy Ghost appointed overseers of the church, have gone to the bride and apprised her of what to do. And the bride of Christ went into the chambers of the king in prayer, for Jesus is king and all mankind are his subjects. And she went appealing to him according to his promises to her. And we have good reason to believe the king heard the cry of his bride and will deliver us. For my friend, let me tell you what I know about God. Among many things, this: the quickest way to his heart is an honest, humble, and holy plea for help. Look at Psalm 107, 23-32 as we conclude. And if you get this message in time, attend our special Thanksgiving service tonight at 7 p.m. Wednesday at the Lighthouse. They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the ways thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Friend, God is preparing us to witness a great work in the deep. In this time of darkness and great trouble, God is preparing to make a move. Watch for it. I've lit the lamps of the church belfry arch. Now you let me know you see they're on. Email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net. brainmassage.net. Find the contact us button. Send me an email. You can leave a message for me on our lights on hotline, 805-314-2114. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
Go to GodsWar2020.com.